Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today. I really like that answer from Nikki talking about Trey Amos thinking that he could end up starting week one. If that's the case, B. Mitch, and you've got a trio of
that's why you draft them.
Lattimore, Amos, Samristil. Because I think Samristil, like we were talking the
Samristil
break.
Played way better last year.
Samristil is a dog. But could you imagine him back in the slot where he can play the run a little bit more? He can be used as a blitz tool.
Yep.
He could be incredible.
He
this
can
season.
Do whatever. The thing about him is he's a student of the game. But I think he's not given enough credit for how well he did play. Early on, yes, he was finally feeling his way. But by the end of the season, he was playing outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
At the position.
And outside, too.
In the game against Detroit, listen to me. You watch the whole – watch the play from start to finish with Jameson Williams. People tried to act like he was beat. No, no, no. He baited the hell out of him. If he was just sitting – and then right when the ball, the last thing, he just ran in and boom. It wasn't like he had to make a spectacular play. He knew, former receiver. He ran the ball.
Yeah.
He tracked the ball better than Jameson Williams did because he was trying to go to the back of the end zone and just wait for the drop. The ball was falling short. And now I think Mikey knew that the whole time.
Yeah, he's incredible. And he's going to be one of the guys that I think you could throw in the answer of this question that we have. Who's going to be the most important commander outside of Jaden Daniels this upcoming season? You'd like to hop in, feel free, 800-636-1067 on the listener lines. Most important player outside of Jaden Daniels. I think there's a couple ways you can go with this. I think one of the guys that I would go with here, B-Mitch, I think on the offensive line, it's part of why you traded for him. I think it opens up a lot because you're able now to help some of the guys on the rest of the offensive line. It maybe opens up the playbook a little bit more. But Laremy Tunsil, a left tackle that allows you to go one-on-one on that side, and Jaden doesn't have to worry about his blind side. You don't have to chip over there. You don't have to help out. And there are some demons in this division for pass rushers. If you can find ways that he can go one-on-one with Parsons, if Parsons is on that side, you don't have to help, or whoever it may be. You've got some really good pass rushers in this division, and if you've got a stud left tackle, it frees up so much of your offense by not having to constantly chip like they did last year.
Mm-hmm. I was immediately thinking Laremy Tunsil, and I agree with you on that because you want your quarterback not to worry about that by this blind side. And if Jaden can just eliminate that and do whatever else he needs to do, you make him even better. And anybody that makes that dude better, they're vitally important to me. You know what I'm saying? When you have a quarterback of his caliber, I go with the offensive lineman or anybody else on the offensive line. Because I watched last year how our offense made our defense better and more efficient. Because our offense would go out there and get 8-minute, 10-minute, 12-minute drives, touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That team comes on the field, you know what they're doing? They're tossing it. So the defense was able to, they know that they're not running the ball. So they play more of a pass offense. They're playing against a pass defense to combat their offense, and they were more effective with it. And the fact that people were throwing a lot on them, look how good they were overall.
Yeah.
You know, people sit here and act like we were horrible on defense. We weren't horrible because your offense puts so much stress and pressure on a coordinator on the other side that he cannot call his whole playbook. He calls a certain side of it. And any defensive coordinator in the world will tell you, if you're only calling running plays or passing plays, it's easy for me to stop you. But when I don't know what you're running and you can do anything, it's a problem. But I'm going to go with the offensive line, but Larry Mantell is also leading the way.
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in on the listener lines. I think on the defensive side of the ball, B-Mitch, for me, I think we were talking about it with Nicky. I think he's the linchpin of how good this defense can be. It's Marshawn Lattimore. Like, if you've got a true number one that you can stick on, again, just like there's great pass rushers in this division, there's great receivers. If you've got somebody that you can leave one-on-one and trust with CeeDee Lamb, you got someone that you can trust with A.J. Brown, it totally changes how you play defense.
Yeah.
And I think you saw that from them last year. I think they started to try to change how they wanted to play, but then they realized Lattimore wasn't the same Lattimore. But when you have a guy that you can just leave over there, it's – So I come back to this example all the time. It's a different sport, but it was something that kind of opened my eyes a little bit to how impactful sometimes guys can be. So when I was in Milwaukee, B-Mitch, they went on their NBA Finals run. They had P.J. Tucker, who they traded for, and they were facing Kevin Durant in, I think, the conference semifinals. And P.J. Tucker was guarding Kevin Durant, and Durant would get his.
Yep.
Durant would go out there and score 35. But the whole point of his defense was you're never going to have to help off of anybody else.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think having a guy like Lattimore, even if he's lined up on A.J. Brown and A.J. Brown still goes 3-4 catches, 50, 60 yards, if you don't have to roll safety coverage over the top, if you don't have to allocate extra resources to slow down A.J. Brown, that helps with the rest of your defense, even if he still gets a little bit of his.
Yeah, because you're not going to completely stop no very good receiver, not in this league, not the way the rules are set
up.
But if you can just make it to where instead of them going to him 8 times, they go to him 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Because a receiver that's covered or closely covered, quarterback moves off of him. And if Marshawn Lattimore is at the level he was in previous years in New Orleans, if he's there and you make Jalen Hurts go away from A.J. Brown and go to somebody else, and that guy you have two people checking him, that's your benefit. You know, so that could help out tremendously. If you got a shutdown corner, a lockdown corner. No, not shutdown, lockdown. Shutdown doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
You got a lockdown corner in your defensive backfield, your defense will be better.
Yeah, and it allows you to play the run a little bit more. Yeah. You can put more people in the box if you need to. It just opens up so much more. So I think on the offensive side, like you said, offensive line, Laremy Tunsil, defensive side, I think for me it's Lattimore. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Who's the most important commander outside of Jaden Daniels, obviously? Let's get out to line one, Blake in Wilmington. Blake, what's going on?
What's up, guys? I think it's going to be Deebo Samuel. I think when you give up assets in any year, he immediately becomes your most important player. You know, when you got a quarterback like Jaden and you got this time period – You get a weapon like Deebo, you need him to stay healthy. I think he just automatically becomes your most important player this season. Thank you, guys.
Hi, man.
Yeah, and I think Deebo on
but the- I don't necessarily agree with that. I think Deebo is going to be a important player, but not the most important player.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think he opens up a lot for this offense.
If Terry still – when Terry signs – I'm going to speak of positivity. When Terry signs and come back in here, he's still your most potent weapon.
Yes.
That makes it easier for Deebo. Then Deebo may be able to pull some people down to help Terry. So those two are working in unison, But I don't know if just because you give up assets to somebody, they become your most important player.
Well, and they gave up more assets for Tunsil. That's
so that's your most important player.
But I think when you look at what he's talking about with Debo, I think it opens up a little bit of what they're trying to do, where I think last year they had, because of the lack of run game in the second half of the year, and they didn't really have a guy that was potent in the screen game. They had a decently effective screen game, but it wasn't great. Mm-hmm. But now having a guy that you feel like you've got to make sure doesn't get off when you throw him a quick bubble screen, I think that's going to open up a little bit of what you're talking about with Terry.
Yeah.
So I think in tandem, those two work together. But I would still say Terry's more important. Terry,
they started to use Terry in the bubble screens last year, and you saw what he did, spit and just went to the house.
Yeah.
Debo, I think, will be more effective in this offense than he was in San Francisco's offense. And my reasoning is this. Everyone looks at him, and they know he's a receiver. But they judge him based off his size. Oh, he's out of shape. No, he's not out of shape. He's 225 pounds. 220, 225. That's why, and he's only, what, about 6 feet at most. He's built like a running back.
Yeah.
But he's not a running back.
Yeah.
And San Francisco tried to utilize him more as a running back inside the tackles. He's been hit by tackles, DNs, and linebackers. This offense utilizes him on the edges, where he's going to deal with some linebackers, outside linebackers, safeties, and cornerbacks. They don't want to deal with him. And I think that right there is going to help him out more because he has the quickness. He's fast as hell, but he's tougher. I don't care what anybody says. There's been some great cornerbacks in the league. Ain't none of them great tacklers. None of them.
It's true.
Okay, they cover. And they will tell you, I was paid to cover, not tackle. All right? And if he's on the edge dealing one-on-one with them, they're going to have problems trying to stop that dude.
Yeah, and even when you look at linebackers in the modern NFL, he's 220. It's not like linebackers are old that are 250. Like, these linebackers are maybe 10 pounds more than these.
A lot of linebackers are 225 on the edges now.
Yeah.
You know, guys in the inside are playing at 230, 235. But the thing about it is, guys that are built like him and lift like him, okay, they know how to have leverage against those guys on the edges. And I've seen him use a stiff arm, which is a forgotten art. Put that stiff on somebody, they push you forward. So, I mean, I'm excited about him and his offense because I know Cliff is chomping at the bit for it.
800-636-1067. Let's get out to Akko in Ohio on line two. What's going on, man?
How you doing? It's Oko.
Oko,
what's
bad.
Up, brother?
Yeah, no problem. I'll go Laremy Tunsil for three reasons. One, obviously, you know, we have a quarterback as good as Jaden Daniels. Number one priority has to be to protect him. Like, if you look at Cincinnati, you know, luckily Joe Burrow, he recovered from his ACL injury, but that's luck, you know, so we don't want that for Jaden. Number two, I think he opens up the playbook. I think we have somebody that can block like Laremy Tunsil. There's just, like, a lot more you can do. He's very athletic and big. And then number three, I'd say just the mentorship. You know, we just drafted a left tackle in Josh Connelly Jr. We'll assume that he'll get that right tackle spot. We saw what Mariota did for Jaden last year, being that veteran presence, and I think Tunsil can be that for Connelly. So I'll go Laremy Tunsil.
Good stuff,
appreciate
brother.
The phone call. Yeah, and I think, too, you know, I think for the most part people wanted an edge rusher in the draft, but there was some discussion about a running back in the first round, which I don't know how real that was. There was also discussion about a wide receiver, and people wanted some explosive playmaker or something in the offense. And I think the way that they went about it, which shows how mature of an approach Adam Peters has, is they said, look, we don't necessarily need the explosive playmaker. We need to make sure we have protection so we can get it to the playmakers we have.
Yeah, true.
And that's what they did.
You know what can make the playmakers you have explosive? If their line is blocking better and they don't get touched until they're three,
exactly
4 yards
right.
down the field. We may have an explosive playmaker on a team that happened to come in the seventh round.
I love that guy,
okay.
too.
Kroski Merritt, he got screwed by the NCAA, didn't get a lot of play. But then when he went where all the stars were of college in the East-West Shrine game, who got the MVP?
Yeah, he did just
fine.
Who
stood out? So that kid, yes, I know most people, oh, he's a seventh-rounder. Don't be fooled by the round someone's drafted. Sometimes you get drafted in a certain round because you went to a certain school. But once you get into training camp, the coaches go, this dude could play. That kid, I think, is going to make a difference throughout this year.
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Who's the most important Washington Commander this season outside, of course, the most important Jaden Daniels? We'll continue talking about it next year on The Fan.
B. Mitch and Finley, 1067 The Fan. We got big news in the National Football League. Not necessarily a surprise, but it appears the end is coming for Jair Alexander with the Green Bay Packers. Now, Jair Alexander's been an excellent player. Two-time All-Pro corner, two-time Pro Bowler, first-round pick back in 2018 out of Louisville. He's from Charlotte. He just missed a lot of time. Last 2 years, he's played 14 games. But even in that missed amount of time, last year he had two picks in seven games. I mean, that's crazy, dude. Two picks in seven games. I mean, how many Washington players had two picks in the whole season? I'm pulling that up real quick. But, like, Joe Witt talked about it earlier this year. They got to create more interceptions. Last year, Mikey Samuels still led the team with two interceptions in 17 games. Alexander had two in seven. Nobody else on Washington had more than one. Now, obviously, Quan Martin had that big one in the playoffs. That gives Quan two on the year. I think Samuels still had two in the playoffs. So it's not like they lack good corners. But here's a question. 800-636-1067. Do you want the Commanders to go after Jair Alexander? Larry in La Plata leads us off. What up, Larry? You want him to go get Jair?
Well, you know, if the price is right, certainly, guys, absolutely go after him. But I have a question for you and B. Mitch. The transition from a corner to a safety, you would think, well, if he can't stay on the field, let's move him to free safety. But if it was that easy of a transition, wouldn't all aging cornerbacks be doing that? I was just getting your thoughts on you know, if a cornerback can transition to safety as they get older or – you know, more injuries in their career.
There's a couple things with that, right? Like, one, everybody has this default make it be a safety. I just, corners want to be corners and not safeties. Corners get paid two times what safeties get paid. So when you talk about a guy like Jair Alexander, who's played corner at a really high level and he's only 28, he's not looking to convert to safety. If you find a guy that's 33, maybe, or a guy that doesn't have any other options, sure, maybe he'll convert. But he ain't converting right now. I find this one a lot more interesting than Jalen Ramsey. I think it's almost like predetermined that Ramsey's going to end up back in L.A. Apparently the Dolphins are still trying to figure out how to trade him. Ramsey just seems like a much bigger personality, I'll say. Jair, the problem is, to me, Lanville, they're already dealing with Lattimore. Like, they already traded for a veteran corner with injury issues. I don't know. Now, this will be different because it's free agency. Assuming he actually gets released and he's just a straight-up free agent, it's different because you don't have to give up compensation. But because you have Lattimore, you already traded for a veteran with a really strong resume at the position. I just don't know that you acquire another one with his own injury issues. That, to me, is the reason I'm not jumping at this.
It would be a little weird to do that twice.
Right. I don't know. And I think corners, like receivers, get the reputation as the divas, kind of like temperamental players. Corners can be that way, too. We're going to take your calls. My guy Toothpick is on the line. What up, Pick?
What's good, JP?
How are you, bud?
Hey, I'm good, man. Listen, I think he's out there. He's a free agent, right? So you try to bring him in and see if he wants to compete. They say everything's a competition, right? The only thing you can find out is he either has it or he doesn't. So, I mean, it's worth a shot. And it doesn't cost you anything but a little cash.
I don't think it's going to be a little cash, though. I think there's going to be a market there. And if it's a little cash and it's just like, oh, he wants to play in Washington so he can be part of what's going to happen here, I feel you on that pick. Like, if it's a 1 year kind of prove it veteran deal, cool, but I don't think that's what he's looking for. I think,
when you miss time, they say the best ability is availability, and he hasn't been available. So you can't be demanding the moon when you haven't been available.
I hear you. But he and his agents are just going to point to the film and the fact that he had two picks in seven games last year. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, if the Alexander market waits around a while and then it's like, all right, maybe we can get him 1 year, probably got to guarantee most of it, but it's easy. I see your line of thinking. I just don't think that's what's going to unfold. Thank you for the call, Pick.
I appreciate it.
Jeffrey, where do you land on Jair?
If I don't have to pay a lot of money, I'm definitely giving him a shot. It's just, I'm not going. When he's released, yeah, but as far as going to get him, if we got to give up something, nah. I'm with Toothpick on that one. Best ability is availability. And you only play seven games in the last two seasons. You haven't.
Seven games each season.
Each season, yeah. Yes. You only played that. You're not available in the back half of the season, the latter half of the season when it matters the most. I'm just, I'm good off that right now. We already got, like we said, we already got a cornerback that was dealing with leg injuries and Marshawn Lattimore. Now, granted, this is one of the best that's dealing with the injury, but if he's not going to be there, I'm good off of it.
All right. That's a fair place to land. Byron, what do you think about going after Jair Alexander for the Commanders?
I'm just going to piggyback off of what Jeff just said. I mean, you can't have two projects at one time paying them that kind of money. So, I mean, if you're going to pick him up, I would think that you would move on from Marshawn Lattimore and try to trade him or something, especially if your young quarters are up and coming.
You can't move off of Marshawn. You just invested so much to get him.
Exactly.
And he's under contract. Like,
so why would you take on another project?
I don't think it's fair to call a guy that's as accomplished as Jair Alexander a project. Like, I know what you're saying, but I don't think he's a project in any sense. If he's healthy, you know what he is. But is he going to be healthy? I don't know that answer, right?
And that's what we waited on for Lattimore.
Right.
And he's still not in camp, so who's to say Lattimore is healthy? So now you're going to have two great quarterbacks now, good or bad, but you can't use them in real life.
I like the Madden comp. Thanks for the call, Byron. Appreciate you, man. Lanny, you want him to go after this?
I don't know. It's difficult because I feel like cornerback was definitely one of their key weaknesses last year. But I mean, if it doesn't really cost anything, what the hell, you know?
They also did just add Trey Amos in the draft. And I think that dude is going to be a stud.
Yeah, but I also think maybe people are putting a little too much on. What was he like? He was a second-round pick?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm optimistic too, but to expect this guy to come in and take your secondary from, you know, one of the worst in the league to all of a sudden good, I think that's a little much to ask for a second-round pick.
Going to keep these phones going when we return. It is B-Mitch and Finley. We're going to let our guy Bennett have his B-Mitch and Finley debut. We got a new guy. There's an army of young dudes around here, and they sent us one. My man Bennett going to tell us if he wants them to go after Jair Alexander. Ted, if you're on hold, stay there. Everybody on hold, stay there. We're going to keep these phone lines going. Chris Miles is going to join us at noon.
Welcome back. B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today. Out here for Commanders minicamp, final day wrapping up today. It's time to get out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Joining us now from the Washington Post is Nikki Jobvala. You can follow her on Twitter at Nikki, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A, Nikki Jobvala. Nikki, what's going on?
Not much. You said my name perfectly. That was amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. I try my best. I think it's usually something that a guest deserves. As someone that gets my last name pronounced wrong just about 90% of the time.
I got to ask this question to him. How do you spell your last name?
Me? Hmm? A-L-T-I-Z-E-R.
That's how I thought it was spelled. I'm going to show you how JP spelled your name.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that JP doesn't know what he's doing with that.
Nikki, what do you think happened to Noah Brown yesterday?
Oh, man, I hate speculating on injuries. It's hard to say because I couldn't get a view. I mean, it appeared that there was a collision. I don't know that there was anything nefarious. Some people said he was a cheap shot. I didn't see any of that. I just saw him go down after, you know, making a short catch over the middle. And he sort of limped off the field and then was hunched over on the sideline for a good bit. And then got in the cart and was wheeled off. And then as he was getting wheeled off, they, like, went over the bump right before going into the facility. And he screamed in mm-hmm. pain. And I honestly don't know. Like, I was talking to John Connor about this. It's like, if there's no collision, maybe you think, could it be, like, concussion, which would create a whole host of problems for the team if a collision caused that, because it's supposed to be no contact. You know, did he take a cheap shot to, like, the stomach? Did he lose his wind? And, like, I don't know, to be honest. I'm hoping we get more information today.
Another person that I've seen talked about plenty at minicamp is Marshawn Lattimore. I saw that you guys had a chance to catch up with him yesterday. What'd you take away from what he had to say yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I thought his press conference was actually really great. He's very open about, like, what it was like dealing with the hamstring injury last year, how it made the adjustment to the new team hard, how he felt like he was pressing at times just to show what he could do to prove himself for a new team. So I thought he was open about everything. I thought it was good. He does seem healthier now, and hopefully he can get back to, you know, the way he was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think for him, confidence plays a major part in the way that he plays. And when you're not healthy, you can't play. And you lack confidence. And I think that you could see that in his game last year.
And he said that. I mean, you could see it definitely, like, on the field. You could see his frustration, obviously, yes, built up with the PIs and everything. But he said even when he watched the tape, like, he looked timid. Just in, like, the steps he was taking. And, you know, that, again, I mean, Steven, she would know more, but, like, that to me would show a lack of confidence, not really trusting your leg.
Totally.
So, yeah.
But who has caught your attention out there, Nikki, of all the newer people that are on the team? And who's a person that's been around for a few years that might need to step it up?
I mean, I always throw out this caveat that it's 7-on-7. Like, they don't even do full 11-on-11 like a lot of teams during minicamp. It's 7-on-7. So you can only glean so much. And it's no contact. There's supposed to be no contact. I do like Jalen Lane. I think his speed is very – I think it's intriguing, but you got to be able to use that in a game when, you know, people are flying toward you. I think he's interesting. I think there are two Jacorys on the team. One's a receiver, one's a running back. I think they're both intriguing. The running back, obviously, being the 7th-round pick. I think both have the skill set to sort of be that disruptor in the room. And then for the receiving sport, I mean, there's a clear opening now. I mean, Michael Gallup's dealing with a hamstring strain, so I would imagine he'll be okay for training camp. But he hasn't been out here for minicamp and missed, I think, the last day of OTAs.
And now we'll see what's going on with Noah Brown, if anything. But they need, you know, basically a number 2, a true number two. Debo's not a true number two in my mind. He's more of he's an exceptional player, but more of a sort of hybrid guy. They need somebody to really step up there. So literally anybody in that room needs to step up.
Talking with Nikki Giovalla here on B-Mitch and Finley, Toby Altizer in for JP today. So DQ mentioned 2 second-year guys the other day in his press conference, talking about Ben Sinnott and Jordan McGee. What have you seen out of those guys, and what kind of role do you think they can play this year?
Yeah, Jordan McGee has a chance to take a huge leap, in part because he played so few defensive snaps last season, dealing with injuries and whatnot. And he's getting a lot of reps in minicamp, mostly because, you know, Bobby Wagner, he doesn't need these minicamp reps. He got an excused absence for day one of minicamp, and, you know, it gives Jordan more time. And he does look more confident out there. I mean, I know that I know DQ, I know AP have also, they've raved about him. They really expect him to take a major leap this year. And Benson, it looks bigger, like thicker. Yep. He had that one really nice catch. It was off a beautiful ball from Marcus Mariota, but he does look good. And then I think Quinn has mentioned this a lot, you know, just for the second-year players, there's that confidence, there's that comfort of coming in after knowing the system. You don't feel like you're swimming. You know, you're not trying to learn the new system, like adjust to a new life, a new team, you know, the speed of the pro game. So you do see them at ease a little bit more, and I think it reflects in their game.
When you look at the offensive side of the ball, keeping Cliff Kingsbury and most of that offensive staff intact, how much do you think that helps this team, like you talked about, not feel like you're starting a little bit further down in terms of not starting right on page one, but it feels like for a lot of the guys that are returning, you're maybe a little bit deeper into the offense and you can get some of these newer guys accustomed to things. How much do you think that helps, taking a step and where we saw this offense get to in January versus where we saw it earlier in the year? Like week one in Tampa versus the wild card game was totally different.
Yeah, no, totally. It's huge. I mean, how many young quarterbacks have we seen sort of their careers get off to a slow start if they're not derailed completely because of all the turnover with their play caller or with their quarterback's coach? It happens all the time. I mean, to me, this is a luxury for these guys to have not only their coordinator and their head coach still intact for a second season, but to have their full offensive staff. It's huge. So they can go deeper into the playbook. I mean, Quinn has said it. They didn't use the full playbook last year. So it allows them to do much more, and they'll need that now that there's film on Jaden and everybody else. It's huge.
How important was it, you think, to get all these offensive linemen here and they're having Tunsil in? I think, you know, people, when they start thinking about building around a quarterback, you immediately think receivers and things like that. Hell, if you don't have protection, can't do anything.
Right. No, I think that front five is the second most important positional group, obviously, on the field behind quarterbacks. I think it's big to have them in here. It's only for a brief time, but just to start to build that rapport is huge, because that's a one position where you have to play as one. Five guys have to play as one, and it's usually more than five guys because you have to sub in and have it be seamless. So I think it's of the utmost importance, and you can see them starting to build that. I feel like that group last year, they gelled pretty quickly. It's a group that got along pretty well. And, I mean, I don't think that's atypical in the NFL, but, you know, I do think it's important, especially when they're going to have a few new pieces there, you know, both tackles and then with Coleman moving to left guard. So, yeah, they need a chance to really get going.
How has Debo looked? I've seen some videos making the rounds on social media, and people are having some say about the way that Debo looked out on the field. What has been your observation of Debo?
He looks good. I even took a picture of him and sent it to one of the 49ers writers, just like, does he look fit and trim to you? Is this like, and they're like, oh yeah, he looks way better. So I got confirmation that he is in good shape, and he shows it out there. Like, he's fast, like, and he's powerful. That first step, oh my goodness. And he can cut, like, it's disgusting, honestly. I'm glad I don't have to defend that.
I think when you look at him, you think receiver, but he's built like a running back.
He's built like a running back.
And
absolutely.
I think that throws people off.
I mean, he looks like a tank.
Yeah, that's the difference, because he doesn't look like what a receiver typically looks like.
No, right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I do think it throws a lot of people off, because the video that's been making the rounds comes from Scott Abraham of ABC7, and it was just a bunch of people were quote-tweeting and saying, man, he looks out of shape. And that's interesting, Nikki, that you said that you sent a picture and the 49ers people are like, oh, he looks great.
No.
He's always been bigger than a typical receiver.
He's always been bigger than your, like, I mean, he's not like a willowy, you know, lanky receiver. He's a powerful dude. But he looks in shape to me.
Big time. Defensive side of the football, talking with Nikki Jobvalla here on B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP. Defensive line. I think it's a big year for Johnny Newton to see him take a step forward. What have you seen out of him? Obviously, like you said, no real contact, but what does he look like, and what kind of expectations does this team have for him in year two?
Yeah, it's hard to glean much from that position. They have him doing a lot of individual drills, but he does look good. I think, again, going back to what I was saying about the second-year players, I think there is sort of that comfort and that confidence that comes with knowing, you know, the scheme and where you're supposed to be and everything like that. So I think he has a chance to make a leap. I'm curious to see how they make all the new pieces, not make them all work, but how they fit them all in up front. I mean, they added not just size, but a ton of new faces and a lot on the inside. So how does he sort of fit into that mix? We'll see. But I think just having a full healthy off season could be huge for him. I mean, he was dealing with 2 foot surgeries at this time last year.
Do you think they did enough on the defensive line? Like, do you think we're going to see an improved unit?
We'll find out.
Well, and that's what I think is interesting is, like, it's all speculation, obviously, at this point. But, you know, people were going into the offseason thinking that's a big area of need, getting pass rush, obviously stopping the run. And their big money acquisition was Javon Kinlaw, which I don't think was entirely popular with the fan base. What do you think about their moves on the defensive line?
I don't hate them. I was a little surprised that, you know, the length and the money they gave Kinlaw. But I like the moves. And, like, you know, I know there's still that question of will they add a pass rusher? Do they need a pass rusher? But I think they really built up the interior, and I think you can generate a really strong pass rush from the interior. And, like, the thing that I always come back to is, like, they had 4 first-round picks on the line. It did not work out at all. They were only good when there was 3 of them in there. And it was, like, intermittent success at best.
Mm-hmm.
So to have, you know, a star, maybe 2 stars on the interior, and then I guess more of I don't want to say role players, but veteran guys that know their responsibilities and know how they should play to, you know, benefit the entire line, I think that could be huge. I think they can have a strong line, but until we see it at work, I don't think we'll really have a good sense. I think the joint practices are going to be huge in my mind. They always are.
I think people look at, like, with the Kinlaw thing, they just look at the price. And as JP has broken down many a times, he's a third-tier price range guy for that position.
Sure.
And everybody people look at it, and they can't forget how much they make compared to what that guy makes. And they, he got too much money. But I don't think they bring him here if they didn't think that they could do something with him, because he was already with coaches on the coaching staff in other places.
Right. I mean, he knows Daryl Tapp, you know, probably better than anybody. AP knows him better than anybody. He drafted him. So,
when you look at the defense, it feels like Lattimore, if he can get back to playing at the level that we once saw him play at, it sounds like he's feeling much healthier. How good do you think this defense can be?
I mean, to me, they're the X factor. I mean, I thought they started to make progress last season. They got off to a slow start, but once they started, you know, getting some turnovers, they were a little bit better. But there's so many new faces. You don't quite know how that secondary is going to shake out. You don't know how the defensive line shakes out. The only thing that's a constant are Luvu and Wagner.
Yeah.
And they're 2 very good constants to have. I mean, especially for where the team was in recent years with their linebackers. But we really don't have a clue of how this defense will look, especially because they're going to tweak things. I mean, every team tweaks things to fit their personnel, and at least the ones with competent coaches. But to have, you know, a bigger front, they're going to change some things here and there. So, I think they're a mystery, which they could play to their benefit, too. But, I think we won't know really much about how they look on that side of the ball until at least joint practices. Maybe not until preseason, although it's limited reps then. And
As I look back last year, I think the way that the offense plays and played last year helps the defense, because they ate up a lot of clock, and that put the defense in position to be healthy. I mean, be rested when they went on the football field. And I believe the same thing could help them this year. But if you are got a bigger bunch, they're not going to just get pushed around. And if that bigger bunch can do the things that the coaches expect them to do, now you have something that makes a defense, an offense become more one-dimensional, which I think a defense plays better against.
Yeah. No, I agree with you completely. Totally.
Last one for me, Nikki. When you look at the corner room, what do you think the coaching staff, doesn't necessarily have to be week one, but say we're getting down to playoff time, what do you think their ideal setup is? Like Lattimore on the outside, where does Sandra still line up? Is it Amos on the outside on the other side, or is it Jonathan Jones? How does that all work out?
Hey, it's Lattimore, Amos on the outside, Sandra still on the inside.
Okay. And when do you think – what do you think a timeline would be for Amos? Like, obviously a second-round rookie. One. You think week one. Wow.
He's good.
I mean, I think he's good. He's good. And, like, I mean, he probably should have been a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Honestly. Guy from Louisiana, Nikki. So. He's good.
Yeah. I mean –
started off at Southwest Louisiana now.
I think he's a week one starter.
I love that. I love that. Nikki, appreciate the time.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That's the great Nikki Jobvalla. You can follow her on Twitter at Nikki Jobvalla. She does a great job for the Washington Post. I want to continue talking about the Commanders next. Who is the Commanders' most important player this season, obviously other than five? Outside of Jaden Daniels, who's the Commanders' most important player? We'll talk about it next here on B. Mitch and Finley.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Going to be joined by our boy Chris Miles, NBA TV, here in just a few minutes. Or maybe that's him calling now. I did want to ask you, as we kind of had a conversation there, Jair Alexander is expected to get released from the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious where you land if Washington should have some interest on that.
If it's at the right price, yes.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The injuries kind of scare me. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a few things, right? I think, one, you do have to get the Terry deal done. That should kind of be at the top of the list. Two, you already acquired a stud veteran cornerback with injury issues.
Yeah.
Like you've already got one of these dudes. Now, granted, they're different types of players, but, like, you already acquired a veteran stud at that position with injury questions. I don't know that you need to add another one.
Yeah, because I think, you know, it's the tendency is always to look back at his best year. But his best year was 3 years ago.
Yeah, 22.
He's had 2 years since then where he's missed, 34 games now?
He's played 14 games in the last 20
games,
two seasons.
19, 20 yeah, games yeah. He missed. That's concerning, especially at that position.
Right, and I'd go one step further. Last year you drafted Sam Ristill. He was awesome as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
This year you drafted Trey Amos, who I truly believe they are all in on the potential of that kid.
Yeah.
I don't know that I need to add another veteran at the position.
If you can get a veteran that doesn't have an injury history, yes. You know, but then again, if you can see him getting close, as we talked with Whitcomb earlier, he said he needed a change of venue, basically. Can this be a place where he can get started? If you can get him in here for a veteran minimum salary, cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't see that.
Then again, I don't know a lot of people that's going to really give him a lot of money with those injuries now.
Right. I think my guess is he'll get a deal that will look big in a press release without a ton of guarantees on it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out together. But I think they aren't as concerned. I think because they got Amos, I think they're actually pretty damn excited about their corner room. Sam Ristill, Lattimore, Noah I, add Amos to that group.
I sat and talked to him yesterday for a long time.
Who's
impressive
who?
Kid? Amos.
Okay.
Yeah, he was at the Live event.
Dude, they add a veteran in Jonathan Jones that's been in the NFL a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think they have the concerns that maybe fans do. Clearly, though, some fans are concerned about the Terry McLaurin situation.
Mm-hmm.
My only advice on that is don't mistake hypothetical conversations for
facts.
Reports. Yeah, man.
Listen, man, everybody can put out a report these days. Everybody. Everybody that has a name that says this commander, whatever, podcast, whatever, they can put out whatever they want. And there are a lot of reporters who want to be the first, so they're going to go out there and they're going to speculate based off of things they hear or they can assume. If you're not quoting Terry or Adam, don't take it for much.
Yeah, I mean, I would go a little, I would cast my circle a little wider. Like, if we start to hear Garofalo or Glazer or Schefter or Diana, like if somebody, like right now, the stuff you see is from kind of like unnamed Instagram accounts. You know what I mean? And it's good engagement and interaction. Adam Peters said on record more than once, we want Terry to be a commander a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I buy it. I believe him.
Yeah. That's what I said last week. I basically said the people you're stating, and I don't go as far as that. I go with those two people, those two guys that I always see. I haven't seen them say stuff that comes out to be not true,
right?
A question,
right?
So Garofalo and also Schefter, yes, I'm taking that. Some other people, I may lean to it, but I don't completely take it.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean that's where we're at this point because it's a point now where people. They're not necessarily trying to give you facts. They're not trying to give you news. They're just trying to say, I was first to say something.
Sure.
And that bothers me.
B, there is a big event tonight that we haven't had a moment to mention yet that I want to take some time for.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Oshie is presumably announcing his retirement tonight. As of now, they're kind of just...
That's what we assume.
They're saying it's a special announcement. Oshie has just been so awesome, and
his whole fam, his wife, dude, all of them.
Yeah, dude, they're great people, and you can watch it on TV. Or I love that they're doing this just open to the public. Like you can just roll in and watch it. And The fact that they're doing it at Georgetown Harbor, where those guys like famously partied after getting the cup, I just think it's so fitting. And it even looks like the weather's going to work with them. I know there were real concerns about like weather for this thing, and we've had some crazy weather over the last couple days. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be there. I'm covering it for NBC, and we're going to go live from the location. Like, I think we can all just like have a blast and celebrate TJ Oshie, who has just been the man.
Yeah.
Not only in his time in Washington, like on the U.S. Olympic team, like all of it. He's a dude that has been so easy to root for, and you want.
He's a class dude, man.
Totally.
Yeah.
You just want nothing but the best for him. A little part of me wonders, there's not a lot going on the calendar right now. Like, the Nats are out of town. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like this thing could be packed, don't you?
It could be. Listen, man, there are a lot of people who support the Red, and they will be out there. And then maybe some other people that look, hey, let's just go see what's going on. You know, whenever there's an event, you always get people that don't know what the hell's happening. They stop in, though.
Right.
You know, and since they're making it to something that's going to be a big event, it may be all kind of different little things happening around it. People like to be around things going on.
Jeff, will you roll to the TJ Oshie jersey retirement ceremony?
Nah, I got to work after this.
Okay. I know Grant and Danny are doing their show live from there. So if you are going, say what's up to those boys. I'll be out there. I think it's going to be a good, fun event. Is our friend AD going to go to this?
I don't know.
I mean, that dude's a hardcore hockey man.
He's a hockey dude.
It should be very cool. I'm excited for it. I was supposed to be. Remember I told you I had a golf match like 2 weeks ago and we got the horn blew on us on the 16th mm-hmm. hole?
Yeah.
So Skip and Will, I'm sorry I can't make it. I now got to go cover this Oshie thing. That's the job. So my boy Kelly is going to go play 2-on-1 to try to finish his match.
You should have just went out there and closed him out real quick and get on to your event.
We're down one on 16, B.
Oh, man, it's just two holes?
I think three. I think Mike's three got holes? Him. You don't think Mike can handle it?
Mike got it. He gets to play two balls or just one?
I imagine just one, but it'd be kind of awesome if you got to play his own best ball with two balls. Yeah, Skip and Will. Mike gets to play two balls because I can't be there.
Yeah, one for JP and one for him.
Yeah, but if he's playing one for me, it's going to be on persimmon tree half the time. all right, we got a little more breaking news out of the NFL. Jermaine Pratt has been a really good linebacker for the Bengals for a few years. Bengals are releasing veteran linebacker Jermaine Pratt. I'm seeing it from Pelissero. I'm sure it's out there elsewhere. I'm going to look up his contract real quick. But if you're Cincy and you're releasing a guy that's been quite good and just an absolute, like,
that's funny thing.
Homegrown. He's a third-round pick back in 19, I believe. I mean, B, this dude in the last 2 years has gone over 100 tackles, hasn't missed a game in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. But they may be trying to get a deal with somebody else.
Right. Is that just about clearing up some money?
That could be clearing up money so they can get the pass rusher signed.
Jermaine Pratt had an $8 million cap number. By releasing him, they take a $2.3 million dead money hit, but they get almost $6 million in cap savings.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's a cheap organization. Maybe they're just doing it to save the money, and they just don't think they need to pay a linebacker that much. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, could be.
You never know with that group.
Yeah, you really don't.
You never know.
But, I don't know. The Hendrickson thing remains floating out there.
But this is the time of the year when you start seeing those veteran guys that nothing is wrong. The team start letting them go. And it normally comes down to money. Or trying to free up some money for another guy.
Right.
So, or put themselves in a position. That may be something that comes along and helps out other teams. I don't think this team needs to look for everybody that comes free, though. We got to get out of that business. We've done that.
Yeah. Paul Denner covers the Bengals for The Athletic, and he wrote of Pratt getting released today. Said, a move that was inevitable 6 months ago finally happens. What a ridiculous charade that it took this long. Pratt is responsible for one of the most memorable moments in team history and was a centerpiece of great championship defenses. He deserved better on the way out. Like, to me, when Washington kind of made it clear they were going to release John Allen, they did it the right way.
Yeah.
There is a right way to conduct the business of football. Hell, I guess, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of business experience, but I imagine there's a right way to conduct all forms of business, whether you're a
I'm with that.
Real estate agent or you own an RV park, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals clearly have a long-standing reputation of not doing these things the right way.
They have screwed up a lot.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And
hands down.
Right.
Yeah.
Aha! I don't know if this counts as breaking news, B, but I'm guessing you were just in there. The Commanders, they do, all NFL teams do this. They do what's called their gladiator shoots, where they get all those cool pictures of like players flexing or spiking a football or dancing. They go in and they have a photo studio set up, and the players all come through and do that. Now, maybe this is just coincidence because he's a big-name player that they acquired this offseason, but the Commanders just posted a picture of Laremy Tunsil getting his gladiator shots done. So, sure looks like Laremy Tunsil's going to be there tomorrow.
Well, he's here today.
Right. He's there today. Like tomorrow's the mandatory practice.
Yeah.
Who all of you ran into over there?
Everybody.
Does anybody's name rhyme with Barry to Chlorine?
Nah, hadn't.
Not yet.
Nah, I hadn't seen that guy.
Doesn't mean
I was rushing there and rushing back. Saw a lot of big dudes. They say it like that.
Did you have to? What? I saw you on the stream earlier. I know you had your ring on. Are you just going polo shirt, or what was your photo shoot like?
Just a polo shirt and a couple of little clips things we did.
That's fun.
Yep.
Once upon a time, back in the NBC Sports Washington days, this was an elite day for content gathering. Because all the guys are walking through there, you get a couple minutes with them. But, you know, television rights change.
It changes.
Things change on this planet.
Big time.
Jeff, I want you... So coming up next, we have a really cool guest. I'm very excited about this. This time of year is when we do other sports, let's say. Mm-hmm. And Jeff set us up. I want to get my man's last name right. Tramaglio?
I'll ask him.
Okay.
I only know him as Reese.
Okay. So coming up next.
Reese T.
We're talking to Reese T. Pax River Reese. He runs the Lore YouTube channel, right? L-U-R-E. Yep. This dude is a very big deal in the fishing world. And at least for me, got on my radar when he posted these videos. Terry McLaurin, for those who don't know, loves fishing. Mm-hmm. And this dude, Reese, had Terry out on his boat with him. Did he have Terry and Tress out on the boat, Jeff?
I don't know if they were together, but I know he had taken both of them out.
Yo, B, did you see that Tress and Ott won the Pro-Am at RTJ last week?
Well, I told you Ott is very good, though.
Dude, I texted...
Tress can play. Ott is legit. He, bruh, dude can play.
I texted Tress when I saw the picture. I said, dude, you won the Pro-Am. And he said, Ott hits it 320, and then I was throwing darts.
I told you. Look, bro, when I played with Ott, got to hole two, he carried the trap on the right side and was right in the front of the green.
I mean, that's serious business.
I'm telling you, man.
That dude can bomb it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this, I guess it's not a first, because didn't we have those dudes that catch like the outrageously large catfish jelly on their
lures? Haze Life. Yeah, we had them on.
Remind me their names?
Haze Life Fishing.
Okay. And what is Reese's site?
So I only know him as Pax River Reese on Instagram. He's one of the youngest professional fishers on the MLF.
MLF is Major League Fishing?
Yep.
Okay.
So dude does it all. He's really a bass fisherman.
Okay.
And that's what I'm learning this summer. I'm learning how to bass.
Does he ever
fish.
Keep any of the bass fish that he catches? You don't just throw them all back, do you? Because, you know, I like to eat them.
I don't know. I never ate no bass out of a lake or a river.
Why not?
Where have you eaten bass from? Or have you eaten something that rhymes with bass?
The only bass I've ever eaten is sea bass. Other than that, I haven't eaten.
Yo, B, why don't you ask Reese if he keeps the fish? He's on next segment.
Bomb.
Landfill, you like to always try to just crack them in there, huh?
Landfill,
I'm going to tell you what you need to do sometimes.
Landfill, do you remember that time Jeff brought us in fresh fish and it was just covered in bones?
I do, yeah.
It was like a pirate ship. It had so many
fish
bones in
fish is supposed
there.
To have bones in it.
Not that many.
Not that like you're serving to your friends and coworkers. It was... It was more it's bones like than fish.
He's like, somebody gave him the bony part. He just said, oh, I'm going to fry it and bring it in to him.
You fried it well, though. Shout out to Jeff for bringing in bony-ass fish. Nobody go anywhere. We're talking fishing when we return. Tell me it's June 9th without telling me it's June 9th. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. B, at some point, we got to take a minute to talk about the Nats. That was a tough, tough loss last night. I'm really starting to enjoy watching Mackenzie Gore pitch, man.
Yeah, but he needs some closers.
Well, dude, or just run support. I mean,
bullpen.
A lot of things they need.
Something.
Yeah. Right now, though, I'm really excited to get to the Rude Guest Hotline and welcome in Rob McNamara, director of golf down at the Keswick Club in Charlottesville. But more impressively, Robert, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
yep, we got you.
We got you, dude. So
awesome technology. You love it.
Yeah, man. So B. Mitch will love to hear this, that Rob played his college golf at LSU.
All American
three times.
Right across the river from where I grew up, Rob.
But
is that right?
I grew up in Plaquemine. I grew up in Plaquemine.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go. Missed the food big time.
Rob, I want to talk to you about the U.S. Open and who you think should win this week and all that. I think if you're a golfer, you are so excited to watch Oakmont with the best in the world.
Yeah.
But, dude, we got to go back. You were 17 years old, and you qualified for the U.S. Open at Oakmont in 1983. I mean, how does a 17-year-old qualify and play that course? What was that like?
It was unbelievable. I was in high school. I went through the qualifying like everyone else and gave it a whirl and got in a playoff. And, you know, you have to go through two states as a qualifier. I made it through and anyway, ended up in the open line and had a hell of a time. I'll tell you, I probably ran my race a little too soon. I played way too many practice rounds, but I got to play with Gary Player and Arnold Palmer and Johnny Miller a couple of times. So I had a hell of an experience. But I will tell you, what makes Oakmont so interesting, and I think everybody likes watching the U.S. Open for guys to have train wrecks and to make par a great score. Well, Oakmont won't have any trouble making that happen. It is so hard. The rough is knee high to a giraffe. I mean, you can't believe how hard this golf course is.
Yeah, those are those times when you were young, though, Rob. You know, when you were young, you just don't know. You don't know how tough things are. You get a little older, you start thinking about it. But does it get to a point like some of this rough? I was watching last night on Golf Channel. They drop the ball, come back, and the camera is not able to pick the ball up. You know?
Oh, you can lose You can lose a softball in that rough. You don't have to worry about a golf ball. You can lose a softball. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Is that the way to protect a lot of courses from these guys that just bomb the ball forever?
Well, you know, the golf has changed so much. You know, that was 42 years ago when I qualified for the U.S. Open.
Wow.
As a high school senior, like, where the hell has my life gone? I just tell your viewers and listeners or whatever to enjoy the show, enjoy the ride. But you think about the golf ball today, it just doesn't fit as much. And they've got these clubs that are designed to complement the golf ball spin rate, and people can hit it in eternity. And the only shot you have to try to slow down low scoring is high rough and wind. Mm. Wind is the ultimate test, and rough is close second. But you can't do it with the speed of greens. They're afraid to get the greens really firm. They saw what happened to, you know, a few years back when they played it at Shinnecock, the greens got rock hard and guys started train wrecking and they got a lot of criticism. But Oakmont rough is straight up legend, I'm just telling you.
Rob, it's funny. I hear good golfers talk about how, you know, the technology, the clubs and the balls, and it just eliminates spin. My shots sure as hell still spin. Not always the way I want them to, man.
Well, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're totally fine. So there's another 17-year-old that qualified, and I think you were the last 17-year-old that qualified. What do you think of this kid, Mason Howell? He shot a pair of 63s at Piedmont Driving Club, which is like arguably as exclusive as Augusta down in Georgia. I mean, that's a serious track. What do you think about a 17-year-old getting in? And kind of what does it say about our national open, the U.S. Open, that it truly is open to the public?
Well, there's a lot of merit in having that. That in and of itself makes golf feel a lot more inclusive, number one. You could go down that highway for sure. But I will tell you, I was pretty good. This kid, Mason Howell, I mean, I wasn't shooting any pair of 63s. I mean, it's phenomenal. I realize that technology is better and scoring in golf today is a lot better. But, you know, this kid can obviously really golf his ball. I saw him hit balls on the golf channel as well, watched his swing. I really like his action and just really think this kid could be a real superstar. I mean, people probably said that about me. And I mean, you know, golf's a long journey. And the thing I would tell Mason Howell, the kid that's qualified, is no matter what you do, have a great time. And your life is going to turn out to be pretty damn good, because as long as you're nice to everybody along the way, it's going to be hard to screw it up from where you're sitting right now.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about the tournament this week. We're talking with Rob McNamara, director of golf down at Keswick Hall in Charlottesville. I mean, truly one of the great courses in Virginia, if not the Mid-Atlantic or maybe the whole damn country.
This we got week, a good course. You would really like the improvements we've made. It's straight up legend. You'll love it. Come down and be our guest. We'd love to have you.
Well, consider that done. the way B-Mitch drives, we get to Charlottesville in
an hour, 90 minutes, man.
Easy commute.
Yeah. But when we talk about this week, hard to not start the conversation with Scottie Scheffler. As a person that played golf at a really high level, what do you think of where Scheffler's game is right now?
Well, he's God gave this man his swing. He's got action that you wouldn't try to really teach someone to do what he does with all the foot action, but where his club is at the top and beautiful high hands, just the club's right on the path, club face square, he putts great, he thinks great, he's got the heart of a lion. I mean, he's going to be tough to beat, but I'm from Kentucky and I grew up betting horses. And I don't like betting favorites, so I know that in today's world we got a lot of sports bettors, listeners out there. I'm going to give you my inside pick. I'm going to go with Seth Straka and a fellow Kentuckian, Justin Thomas. Those are my two picks for the people listening. Get it down, and Seth Straka can drive it good. He's big old strong boy. That's who my money's on. I'm not going to go for the favorite bet on a lock like Scotty.
Would you say that the favorites should be guys who drive the ball straighter? Because I'm serious. I don't care if they're pros or not. They're getting that damn rough. They're not advancing the ball to the green.
Well, I remember meeting Jim Thorpe, and your real golfers will know who Jim Thorpe was.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
not talking about the
– You used to play at Langston.
I'm talking about – yeah, the golfer. And Jim Thorpe, Cal Sutton introduced me to him in the locker room at Oakmont. And Cal Sutton, I remember asking him, said, Jim, what do you think about that rough? He called them sucker lies. He said, don't try to hit it out of a sucker lie. He goes, you can't get more than an 8-iron out of any lie out there. He goes, anybody trying to hit a 7 or 6 or 5-iron has lost their mind. He goes, you can only hit 8-iron down to a sand wedge. He goes, forget it on everything else. And that's probably still true. I did not get to go up this year, sadly. I went for the U.S. Amateur of 3 years ago and saw the rough. It's wicked. Like I said, it's knee high to a giraffe.
I got to play Oakmont once, and I parred the first hole, and I was feeling myself. And
how many pars did you have after that?
I literally, on the second hole, B. Mitch, I wrote down the infinity sign because I was in a greenside bunker, and I could get out of it into the other greenside bunker. And I did that back and forth like 5 times, and I was just like, I'm going to pick up, guys. Like, there was just nothing I could do. Rob, your two picks, you like Sepp and you like Justin Thomas. If you hit on that, those are both plus 5,000 to win. So even
man,
it's so a $10
like
bet.
Horses.
Yeah, dude.
You got to make his money.
I love that. Rob, where do you think – obviously, Rory McIlroy started this year so red hot. He won the Players. I think he won Pebble. And then, obviously, he won Augusta in just like a wild fashion. But then, last at the PGA, his driver gets snagged. He's kind of been like on and off talking to the media when he's usually a guy that I would say enjoys talking. Where do you think Rory is coming into Oakmont?
Well, I don't understand if he used that driver in the Masters. And, I mean, this is probably not going to win a lot of favoritism awards with the Rory fans out there. But how is the driver legal for the Masters and not legal for the PGA or whatever they deemed it to be illegal on? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. I don't know why people aren't asking the question. I don't know Rory McIlroy. I mean, I'm just sitting here as a golfer, a respecting the game of golf. It just doesn't make sense to me. Obviously, I don't know all the facts.
It's a fair question.
But you know, they say that some of those drivers sometimes get flagged and sometimes they don't.
Right.
I don't know if it's the player. I think it's just the people that's judging.
And they test 30 of 120
They must not have a universal testing system, because you can't tell me sometimes it get flagged, sometimes it doesn't.
It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. It's quacking like a duck a little bit, if you ask me. But you can feel a little of the zip out of his voice. That's all I'll say.
For sure. All right. In just a moment here, we're going to do our U.S. Open draft for the boys on the show. You like Sepp and you like Justin Thomas. Now, this is an interesting question. I heard this on one of the golf podcasts I listened to this morning. You like the ponies. I'm guessing you know your way around an over-under. A over under Scottie Scheffler's where he finishes this tournament, over under 3.5. Which way are you going?
I'll take the under.
How crazy is that?
I think he's going to finish second.
Wow.
A lot of great. You look in the history of golf, how many great champions have runner-up finishes? I mean, Phil Mickelson, I think, had, 19 runner-up finishes in majors? Nicholas had 19 runner-ups, I think. Mickelson, I know, finished runner-up in the U.S. Open 5 times. I mean, he's due for a runner-up is all I'm saying. That's what I'm gonna bet on a place horse. I'm going to load up on a place. Let's get down. Let's go to Laurel Park, baby.
Rob, I could talk to you for hours. You're speaking my language. Last one from me, B. Rob, I'm guessing with your track record and being at a place like Keswick, which is obviously world-renowned, you qualified for the U.S. Open at Oakmont. I'm guessing you've played all of our country's greatest golf courses, if not those in the world. I'm curious, for you, what would you say is the best golf course in America?
Well, I won't count Keswick Hall because that would be home cooking to talk about how good the Full Cry golf course is. But I've been fortunate enough to play Augusta National. I got to play it 9 times.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, that one, if you only had one more day to live, it'd be hard. You'd be hard-pressed not to say it. If God said you picked the spot, it'd be hard-pressed not to say, I'll take a round of golf there.
I bet. Have you played Cypress?
I have played Cypress Point. That would be number 2.
Okay.
Although, that place is pretty special. I snuck on Cypress Point one time back when I was really poor and played 3 holes, but I then got to go back as a guest and we got to be a guest to play the whole thing. But they've got those signs everywhere, do not trespass. You will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I was much younger, and like I said, I was completely busted. So why not? I had nothing to lose.
Rob, this is awesome, man. Maybe we do it again, Rob, before the British. Thank you for the time.
Thank you guys so much. Love your show. Thanks, man.
It's our guy, Rob McNamara from Keswick Hall. Beautiful, beautiful golf course down there in Charlottesville, Virginia, and a really, really accomplished amateur golfer.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro.
we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.